This is the 28th day of July 1977. Gerda and I are in Spanish Fork, Utah, interviewing.
What is your name?
Dwayne Thornton.
And you live in Spanish Forks,
Utah? Right.
When did you come to Spanish Forks?
I was born and raised here.
And what is your background? What nationality?
It's Danish. On the other side of the family, there's some Swedish.
So it is a Scandinavian background.
Mm-hmm.
How much do you know about your family?
Well, like I've said, I'm kind of a poor history link for my family. I know as far back as my granddad quite well, you know, and as far as before that, I don't know whether his dad was a pioneer to this area or whether his granddad was a pioneer. I don't know.
What was your grandfather's name?
James Sorensen.
James Sorensen.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know your grandmother's name?
Yeah, she was Effie.
Effie.
Sorensen. Nielsen was her maiden name.
Oh, so then she was also of Scandinavian descent.
Mm-hmm.
What were your own parents' names?
Marion Sorensen was my father. My mother was Pearl Barney.
Now, then she was not Scandinavian.
Well, I don't know.
Now, that's where the Swedishness would...
Right. Her ancestry, again, I'm not too well acquainted with it.
Did you ever know your grandfather or grandmother?
Right. Now, I knew on my father's side, I did. On my mother's side, her parents, her mother is still living, and her dad passed away when she was 13, so that would be at least 40 years ago that he was gone.
Now, you knew you were Danish. How did you know you were Danish? What was ever said about the Danishness?
Well, usually the spelling of the name, everybody that was within the family was the one that would make mention of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this area has a lot of people that worry about the S-O-N's or the S-E-N's on a name, and that's the reminder on it. As far as anything that I've followed through the history of the family, I've not picked it up through that.
There's never been any mention of what community they might have come out of in Denmark, the
no.
reason for coming?
No, there was some talk at family reunions and stuff like this. Family reunion coming up next week, and they'll sometimes talk about some of those kind of things, but when I attended those, I was usually a young kid that kind of stuff didn't sink in. And for the last 10 years, they've always had their family reunions on a Saturday during the summer. And for the last 10 years, I've never had a Saturday off in the summer. I've always been mixed up in the rodeo business. So.
How old are you?
I'm 30.
You're 30. You're married?
Right.
And would you give us your wife's name?
Sandra Kerlock was her maiden name.
And was she a local girl?
No, she was from Las Vegas.
From Las Vegas. Do you have any children?
We have one. Stephanie Jo was her name.
And you were born in Spanish Fork, and you grew up here? You went to school in this area?
Right.
Are you of the Mormon religion?
Right.
So that you are actually, in that respect, you are typical of this area.
Right.
It seems like most of the people around here are of the Mormon religion.
Most all of this particular community are. There's a few that are not, but most of them are.
Now, what kind of work did you go into after you left high school? Or did you go to high school?
Right. When I finished high school, I just was interested in the rodeo business, and the fall after I graduated, I went to college. And I went to college for 4 years.
And where did you go to college?
At Utah State in Logan.
Mm-hmm.
Got my bachelor's degree in ag science. And then I went to Europe on a rodeo tour, which was supposed to last a year. And after 4 months, they were losing money quite fast, so they sent us home. So at that time, I went back to college and got my master's degree in economics.
Now, how did you get interested in the rodeo business?
When I was 9 years old, the church ward put on a rodeo, just limited to people that lived within the ward. Of course, all kids rode calves.
What ward was that?
It's Palmyra Ward. It's a little farming community about 4 miles out here. Mm-hmm.
And out of that grew an interest?
From there, just every time there was a calf riding or some little deal until I was in high school. And in high school, of course, there's high school rodeos. And by the time I was a junior in high school, I had joined this professional rodeo association. And by the time I was out of high school, I could make a living at it that beat hauling baled hay or driving a tractor for some of the farmers around. And I could rodeo during the summer and go to college during the winter.
Now, when you say rodeoing, can you describe some of these things that you do? You remember, wouldn't know maybe.
That's true. During my younger days, I rode bulls and bareback horses. And you pay an entry fee, and you can travel anywhere there's a rodeo. If you've got the money to get there and to pay your entry fee to enter, why, you can compete against the other men to see who takes the money home, and only the winners do. And when I was in college, then I started trying to learn how to rope calves and entered the steer wrestling. And as I got older, I quit riding bulls, and now I entered the steer wrestling and the calf roping and the bareback riding.
Well, you're still active in the rodeo.
Right, I am. I'm not like I was. We've had this business for, this is our third summer here.
What is the business?
Here?
Yes.
The cafe and motel.
And it's the Ideal?
Ideal.
In Spanish Fork.
Spanish Fork. We bought this from a gentleman who, he was ready to retire. He'd been in the business for 22 years, and there was one fall 3 years ago that we ended up with a little bit of money in our pockets instead of just a worn-out truck and enough to go to more rodeos. So we thought, well, if it's for sale and it's something we were interested in, so we purchased it.
Now, does this allow you then to still rodeo?
Yeah, it does. Since we bought this, we have turned in our membership in this Rodeo Cowboys Association, which is the National Professional Association. And the Rocky Mountain Rodeo Association is a small group of kind of local area people. There's some out-of-state people in it, but there's about 30 rodeos in it. And so we end up going to about that many during the year.
Now, you say we all the time.
Well, my wife and family go with us. We have a camper, and we try to get enough help hired during the summer months that we can leave on Friday and come back Saturday night, or a lot of them are close. This is what's good about this association. There's some that, the furthest one away, there's one that's 200 miles away, and the next furthest away is 100 miles from here each way. So you can leave in the afternoon, be up there that evening, and even drive back and be here to run the business the next day and maybe go to another one the next night.
Does your wife take any part in any of this rodeo, or does she simply go as your companion and...
No, she goes. She, I met her in college through, she was on a rodeo team at Dixie College in St. George. And after 1 year, she moved to Logan and was on the rodeo team there. And that's where she was there for 2 or 3 years. And she had 1 year of college left when I married her.
What events does she ride?
Well, she runs barrels now. I mean, in college they have other events for the girls, like they have a breakaway calf roping and goat tying and this kind of thing. But now she just has a barrel horse. Kind of ironic. She's this association she's in, the Utah Barrel Race Association. She's sitting second for the championship, and the champion wins a horse trainer. And last week was her last chance to run because she's 7 months pregnant.
Which, oh!
After so long, you either have to get a bigger horse or quit.
But your little bit modest. What are some of the national awards you have won, or some of the rodeo prizes you've won?
You'll have to explain what it means to win this prize, too. And that means, I know it's probably not your nature to brag, but for the record.
Well, while I was in high school, they have what they have national competition. And to get to national competition, you have local rodeos and then state championship rodeos and then your national championship rodeos. Through my 3 years of high school, I went to all three national finals and I had state championships in an event or two which qualify you to go there. And then in college, they have regional championships, which our region was the Rocky Mountain region, which took in Washington, Montana, Idaho, Utah. And during my 4 years eligibility in college, I had won the championship in the bareback riding twice, the steer wrestling twice, and the bull riding four times, and the all-around twice. And by winning those, that qualifies you again to go to the national finals. And on the national level, I never did win a championship. I was always bridesmaid and never the bride type of thing. And since graduating, I've been going more strictly into the money rodeos, why I've won five championships in one event or the other in this Rocky Mountain Association, and 1 year I won the steer wrestling in the Nevada Association.
Now, when you talk about a championship, how do you become a champion? You have to win races, or?
Okay, for instance, like the all-around championship that I've won the last 2 years in the Rocky Mountain Association, that is the man who wins the most money over the total year.
Oh.
And both years I won about $6,000, a few dollars more, a few dollars less, depending on the year. And like the second place man might have won like $5,500 or something like that. Now in the professional larger association, of course, they win more money to win, but it's just a matter of which guys are eligible to go in our association. There's no worse not so many guys, and the rodeos aren't as big. Why, a first place check might be $500 at the biggest rodeo, whereas there's chances to win quite a lot more.
But it is the number of races you win that counts toward becoming a champion.
Well, it's the total number of dollars you win.
Oh,
I see. Say last year we went to 20 rodeos, and I won $6,000, so average through there would be about $300 per rodeo that I'd won.
I see. So it's not the number of times you win, but it's the number of dollars you win.
The number of dollars. Now this year, we decided, well, where she's expecting, we just haven't went to as many rodeos, and this year I concede that the kids are going to beat me, some of the younger guys and some of the other guys, and maybe next year I'll have the bug back again. It's like golfing, you know, you can stay on the golf course several years in a row, and when you get kind of tired of it, it's just nice to stay home and work, and maybe I'll get the bug another year and try to go to one. In order to win a championship, they give saddles or some kind of an award, and in order to win a championship saddle, you've just about got to go to every rodeo. If you don't, why, the other guys you're competing against, they're there, and they have a chance of winning if they can draw livestock, which they can beat the other guys on.
Now, as a young fellow, boy, did your parents live on a farm then?
Right. My dad has a farm that part of it was inherited, part of it bought from brothers, as it was left by my granddad.
And so your granddad was a farmer also?
Right.
Now, are you keeping your horses, your stock, out there?
Well, yes, I am, in that I bought a small portion of land that was an irregular piece of land, hard to farm. It had a bench in it, a high and a low place, and the river runs right along the side, which is an ideal building spot. And I leave this business, I'm going to build me a house out there, and might be 15, 20 years, but one day I'll live out there. I have a barn, stables, and a practice arena and a small pasture and this kind of stuff, which is just about a rock's throw from my dad's house, only it's across the river.
Now, are you an only child?
No. I have four other brothers and a sister.
May we have their names?
Okay, the oldest brother is 2 years older than me. His name is Lynn Sorensen.
Is that L-Y-N-N?
Right. He runs a furniture store down here on Main Street, L&M Interiors. Then the brother that I'm the second oldest, my next younger brother, Ray Allen, he runs a furniture store in Payson, runs Payson Furniture. He just bought that last fall and is a kind of a newcomer to the business world, I guess. Then the next in line is a sister, Ann. She works for me as a waitress and kitchen helper, and kind of she stays here when we're gone and runs the motel and that kind of thing. So she's my handyman. And then 2 years younger than her is twin brothers Don and Ron. Both of those work for the older brother Lynn. One lays carpet and the other is a salesman on the floor. So
nobody else was bit by the rodeo bug?
No, there wasn't. My younger brother Ray, he was bit by it, and he went to the national finals 1 year in the college rodeo, and he was kind of late getting the bug, and he had a lot of talent, and the guy had a phenomenal year in college the 1 year, and the end of May, when all the rodeos, college rodeos were over, he went to a few other professional rodeos, and he, at that time, was engaged to be married, and he traded all of his rodeo equipment for four tires for his truck.
Oh, that was love.
He just decided that, like it or not, you know, it was something that he could see. There's not a lot of money to be made in the rodeo business. That's where it's kind of an odd business, in that it costs you so much to go, the way gasoline and motel and prices and that kind of stuff are. And you've just about got to have another way to make a living and do that as a hobby. Like for us, with the enjoyment we get out of just competition and our animals and stuff that we have down there, and it's a nice way to get away from the business for a little while and have a place to go to where you can enjoy yourself and ride, and we train horses and that kind of stuff. And he just didn't have it quite that deep, so he bought him a fishing boat and a snowmobile.
I was wondering, two questions. Are you planning, when you retire from the motel here and the cafe, are you planning to raise stock for the rodeo?
Well, I'll always be involved in the horse business now.
Can you use your economics studies in this? Does that tie in at all, or what are you doing with that? Anything?
Well, it works good for the business here, but as far as for the rodeo business, why, if a guy figured all the dollars and cents, he'd wonder why he put so many hours in to make such a few dollars. So,
but what kind of what breed of horses are you going after? The quarter?
Ours are all quarter horses. With a lot of them have thoroughbred bloodlines in that. Especially in the barrel racing, you've got to have something that can really run and still have enough athletic ability to be able to turn. And it's interesting to see, you know, how good a horse is that we can ride ourselves, you know, and then we sell quite a few horses. We'll take young horses and train them, or, you know, if one better comes along, why, we'll sell something that's not as good. And another part of the business is we train barrel horses, and these are in demand so much with all the high school and youth rodeos and that's around the country. Everyone's wanting a barrel horse, and it takes a lot of time and effort to train a horse, you know, in any event.
What
is a barrel?
Okay, a barrel horse? Well, for people that don't know what a barrel race is, it's a race. It's strictly run against a stopwatch. Three barrels are set in a triangular set, and then they run them in a cloverleaf pattern around them. And they're timed from a starting line, and then when they recross that line. So they cross the line, run around the barrels in a cloverleaf manner, and back across.
You don't jump barrels.
No.
That's what I thought it was.
No, it's strictly who can run the fastest between them and have enough athletic ability to turn them and be gone to the next one. And they're going around all three barrels in this cloverleaf manner. Mm-hmm. So there's three turns. That's the way it's timed.
What breed of horse seems to be the best, or what crossbreeds?
A quarter horse for the temperament with enough thoroughbred in it to give it speed.
Now, what thoroughbred?
Thoroughbred.
Oh.
What is it?
American Standard? Or?
No, a thoroughbred is a breed of horse, like your big racetracks that run the long races. They're thoroughbred horses.
Mm. What would you also explain that this high school and college competition is much like football, scholastic intercollegiate games?
Right, like in this area especially, every high school or every area has high school rodeo teams. And like this particular area right here is called the South Utah County Rodeo Club, and there's a club of about four high schools. They have about 100 members in it, and these kids started at a young age practicing and learning the event. And it's really a good deal. It's like basketball might keep some kid that has a lot of talent on the basketball court in school and make him try to keep his grades up. Well, it's the same way with the rodeo business. Someone with a horse interest that might not have been a very good student, why, it'll force him to work a little harder and have grades that are of a high enough standard that they'll let him compete. Because you've got to be an average or above student where they will let you compete in the rodeos in the high school and also in the college level.
Now, do the schools have the stock, or do the young men and women supply the stock?
The contestants, the men and the women, will supply their own horses they compete on. But like, say, a guy was a saddle bronc rider, that would just be contracted with some company which owns them. And there's companies which own the bucking horses, the Brahma bulls, the roping calves, the bulldogging steers, and they'll contract with him to bring them on whichever weekend the rodeo for that particular high school or college or professional rodeo. They will furnish him, put the rodeo on, and all the contestant has to do is just enter and compete in his event.
What about a young fellow who, or a young lady, who can't afford a horse or the stock?
Well, they'd be in the same boat that I was in. My parents were not financially sound. Farmers in this area just don't make very much money, especially if they have kind of a large family and have the equipment and the farm and that kind of stuff to pay off. But there's events that don't take a lot of investment. That's the riding events, like the bronc riding or the bull riding. $50 or $100 worth of equipment would completely outfit someone. And of course, when you get into like the barrel racing, there's enough parents who like to see their daughters compete, and they'd rather see them doing that other than some other things that might not be quite as wholesome of atmosphere, and it doesn't give the girl the responsibility to take care of it. A good barrel horse could cost anywhere from $2,000 to $15,000. I've known them selling that high. So obviously it takes quite a lot of money,
Now, rodeo I have watched as a spectator, not knowing much about it, it looks dangerous. Is it as dangerous as it looks?
Yeah, it probably is as dangerous as it looks, but the more experience that someone has in it, the less his chances are of being hurt.
Well, you are a beautiful specimen. It doesn't look like you have been hurt. Have you been hurt?
Yeah, a couple of times. I've never been really seriously hurt. I just had a horse fall down on me one time and break a couple of bones in a foot. And it wasn't even riding a bronc or anything. It was just a stupid horse that slipped on the grass and fell down before the rodeo.
Oh, no.
So that's the worst thing I've had happen to me, is just something small like that. But there are guys that are hurt, and you go through that as a young guy until you find out just how far you can push yourself, like to ride a bull. If you've got a bull that you obviously can win first place money on, if you can ride him, if you're riding the bull well enough that you're going to make the 8-second whistle, you can put the extra effort. But if it's obvious that you're going to get thrown off after, you know, say you're halfway to the whistle and you're in trouble, by trying to hang and make the rest of it, you're probably not going to make it anyway, and you're going to get walked on or hit with a horn or something like this. So that's where the older, experienced guy has an advantage over the younger guy.
Now, we're almost at the end of the tape, and do you see any of your Danishness, of your Danish upbringing, heritage, helping you in this business?
I can't, in that it's a business that is strictly individual. You know, there's no family links anywhere through this that kind of business where it's handed down from one to another. I just got the bug to ride horses, and that's how I got into it, and it was nothing to do with
that. And your parents did not object?
Well, they did. They objected until I graduated from college, and then it was too late. They figured that I was 23 or 4 years old, and they just as well quit objecting.
Well, it's been a delight talking to you.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot, Duane.
Yeah.
Gud som styrer folkens öden, allsmäktig ut i alla land, som håller livet, håller döden ut i sin starkhets högra hand. Vad än för straff det svea ämnar, för var hon forum brutit har, hon bär det nöjd om blott du lämnar det sekel gamla frihet kvar. Min fader var en ung soldat, den vackraste man fann. Vid 15 år gevär han tog, vid 17 var han man. Hans hela värld var ärans salt, var han sig stalt, där stod han glad, i eld, i blod, i frost, i svält. Han var min fader, han. Jag var ett barn när han drog bort, sen fridens dag var slut. Dock minns jag än hans stolta gång, jag minns den var minut, hans hatt. Hans plym, hans stolta skyn, nej aldrig går det ur min syn, hur härlig han såg ut.